You're listening to Guitar Goddess Radio with Azina.
Hey everybody, welcome to Guitar Goddess. I am so excited because today we have in the virtual studio Miss Gretchen Bonaducci. And Gretchen, as you guys know, she's a rock goddess. She's an author. She's an executive producer. And you guys may remember her from the reality series that she had a few years back. But today we are here to talk about Agent Orange. Everything I learned from being thrown under the Partridge Family bus. Hey, Gretchen, welcome, and thank you so much for being here today.
Hi, sweetie. Thank you for having me. What an introduction.
It's all true.
It is all true. I'm afraid it is. A lot of it I wish wasn't, but no, that's the way it worked out.
Well, we are so excited today to talk about, like, everything that you have going on, but most importantly, your book that you're launching today. And we're so thrilled to be a part of your launch and to be able to share it with our community of positive, inspiring women. So, you know, let's jump into it. So you wrote your book, it's yes. Your memoir about your life as a celebrity and also kind of some of the behind the scenes things that we may not have been privy to.
Right. Well, you know what? It took a really long time to get this off the ground. I don't think people realize how long it takes to actually write a book and get it out there. Like, I've been trying to get it out there for maybe three and a half years. So, you know, I had to write it. Then I had to take it to someone. At first, I had a lit agent in New York. So that took a year for me to get all kinds of no's, you know? So then, my publicist here, Natalie, was able to get me to this really great company called Rare Bird. So then, you know, we had to do rewrites. And so it's just taken a lot of time, but I'm so proud of it. You know, I actually was going to get a ghostwriter. And then it turns out I'm really greedy. So I was like, oh, I could do this. I don't want to pay someone 50%. So I just was very disciplined about sitting down and trying to write as much as I could every day. And if I got stuck, I just tried to write something else, you know, just to keep going.
So writing the book, like, was it very therapeutic for you? Did you feel like now was the time to talk about all these things? Like, tell us about, like, the emotional journey of writing your memoir.
It was very, I hate that word cathartic. It seems like it's kind of overused.
Yeah.
But it was kind of interesting and fun to relive a lot of the things that I'd forgotten about, you know? So I really just tried to write and write and write. And I wanted to try to do it in an order, but I knew I couldn't do that. So I would just write this story, then that story. Then I was trying to put it together in a chronological order, which then we ended up breaking it up and now it jumps all over the place. But it was the best way just to keep going, you know, not to get stuck and to keep trying to write and write and write. And then, you know, we would figure out what worked, what didn't work. Thank God my people that were editing were so great. You know, it's like, well, this makes you look stupid. So I'm like, take that out then, you know? So I had a safety net there. But it did take a long time to do. And everything happens in the time it's supposed to. I mean, I think now with hashtag Me Too, the fact that I didn't get it on until now is perfect because I think people question you less. Like, why did you want to tell your story? You know, so I think the reason it's coming out now, everything happens in the time it's supposed to.
Absolutely. You know, and thank goodness that you're doing it right now, you know, because I feel like finally people are listening to women. I feel like women have always said, you know, this is happening or that is happening, but I feel like it was kind of brushed aside, you know, and I feel like now people are really paying attention.
And I think it's more okay that you tell your story.
Exactly.
That's the thing. You know, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, had I gotten this book out, I would have been criticized a lot more than I'm probably going to be now. And you know, I simply just wanted to tell my story. It's that simple. My ex-husband has had radio shows and he could say, you know, whatever he wanted. And even my daughter said to me, Mom, all of Philadelphia hates your guts. I'm like, why? And, you know, I feel like, you know what, I don't accept your hate. If you read my book and you still hate me, then I accept it. But I don't want people to form an opinion about me because of what someone else has said, you know? And so that's kind of why I wanted to tell my story. And, you know, I'm so happy I got the opportunity. I really am.
And we're so happy that you got the opportunity as well. You know, your book is, it's so wonderful. It's like a breath of fresh air, and it's really great for women because I feel like now we're starting to talk about all these things that we've kind of kept in the closet. You know, you talk about the difficulties you had in your marriage. And I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're going through it, you feel like you need to keep it all to yourself.
Oh, and, well, especially when you're married to a celebrity.
Yes.
You have to be very careful who you tell what. Mm-hmm. And so it's very isolating, you know, sometimes. And also one of the big points that I wanted to make in my book is, you know, I grew up in a very religious household, like Southern Baptist. We were in church every Sunday. And I think in some ways, sometimes that can victimize you, where you put up with way more than you should because you are so conditioned to turn the other cheek, forgive, forgive, keep your marriage together. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. And you know what? I don't feel bad about that, especially in these times with how people just are bullying and it's, you know, just a time where nobody wants to forgive anybody. I would rather err on that side, that I gave too many chances than not enough. But I do think a lot of people can relate to growing up in a religious household and putting up with more than you should, you know?
Absolutely. And I think traditionally women have been taught that, and we've taught that to, you know, I know I was taught that from my mom, and I know my grandmother taught that to my mom, to just, you know, just deal with it and keep going on. But at some point there has to be a time where you put you first and you decide, you know, I want to be treated differently.
That, and also your children.
I mean, yes.
That's really my biggest reason for getting out. Was I was watching Dr. Phil one day, and he said children would rather be from a bad situation than in one. And I was like, oh my God, I'm totally keeping my kids in a bad situation here. And, you know, for me as an adult, I could choose to try to deal with things, but it wasn't really fair to have them continually in that situation. And, you know, it's another thing you're weighing. Do I want to make them a product of divorce? Do I want them to be in the situation where they have a parent that is dealing with addiction, you know, like, so it was just a really hard call, but I left when it was the time for me, you know, like, I don't feel like I stay longer than I should have for me. I probably stay longer than I should have for my kids, but you know, you just don't know. You don't know. You just try to figure it out.
Was there something, you mentioned Dr. Phil, was that the turning point when you thought like, oh, I need to make a change? Or was there something else that happened where you're like, you know, it's kind of like when it's something that breaks the system and you're like, okay, this no longer works for me.
I would say that was the moment for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. But I mean, it was so broken for so long. And I mean, we tried everything. We tried rehab, we tried church, we tried therapy, you know, so I felt like we tried everything. And when I realized none of those things were going to work, that's when I finally had to go, okay, I need to get my kids, you know, out of this. You know, when you think to yourself, if I don't go now, I'm going to be in this exact situation in 6 months. You know, it was just a cycle where he was great, then he was screwed up again, then he was great, you know. So, but that was also what was making me want to stay, was because there were periods where it was great, you know, he was lucid. And so, yeah, I mean, I just feel like a lot of women will totally relate, because a lot of us have been there in a marriage that was volatile and addiction problems and infidelity and all those kinds of, you know, things that we sometimes go through.
Yes, absolutely. And for you, you know, you were able to still produce during this whole time. You weren't like just raising your children. You were moving and grooving. You were executive producing shows. You know, you were in a band, you know, you had your community. Like, how are you able to keep all that going and still deal with the situation with your marriage? Because that sometimes is so overwhelming in itself that it kind of takes over everything.
Well, you know what? I think all those things that I was doing was much less than what I was doing when I was married to my ex-husband, you know? I mean, that was just trying to manage him and keep him together and get him on time and take care of the kids. And, you know, it was kind of a relief that I could do things that I wanted to do, you know, because really it was just taking care of him and his needs and my kids. That was really all I had time for. Mm-hmm. And And I chose to do that. You know, it wasn't like it was a sacrifice, but then when I started to want to do things for myself, that became difficult, you know, mm-hmm. like when I wanted to sing in a band or anything that I wanted to do, it was hard when I was trying to take care of him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once I was on my own, it was so much easier. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I can do this, you know, and it was easier. It was. He was a handful.
Oh, I can imagine. From your book, it seems like, wow, you had these two parallel worlds that you were keeping afloat. You know, like here's this world over here with him where you're managing him and all of his appointments and everything and making sure, you know, he's out there doing what he's supposed to do. And then at the same time, you have your mom lane where you're over here, you know, raising your children and keeping them together and encouraging and inspiring them. And then you had a lane for yourself where you were executive producing and singing in a band and doing all of that. And I'm just like, whoo, I'm tired from one lane. How did you manage all three?
It definitely was. But you know, I am so grateful. We were married 18 years. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. Mm. We have two amazing kids and it was worth it. And I do it all again.
Yeah.
I definitely was a lot happier once I was out and able to do, you know, things that I wanted to do. Is it okay if I drink some water?
Of course, of course. I know I talk a lot and I ask a lot of questions, but you know, our community is, we have a beautiful community of women and we want to hold each other up and we want to shine a light on each other. And you just have so much to offer. And I know that I've had conversations with women who are going through what you've gone through. And I would just love to hear like your advice for them. You know, they're out there trying to get their music going and they're trying to, you know, keep their marriage together and their families together. And it's challenging. And as someone who's been there and done that, what would you say to them?
You know, I think it's just important that you put yourself in some ways first, because you kind of need to do that just as a human being, have some creativity and have some freedom to do the things that you want to do. Even when Danny and I were married, he was working all the time. You know, he was doing two radio shows a lot of the time, two radio shows and a TV show. So even when we were married, I was still kind of a single mom because he was gone all the time. And so once I was out of that situation, it kind of was the same because I was doing all of it anyway. Mm-hmm. But it did open up, you know, I always had to be careful with him, like in a band, it was just tricky, you know, and it was kind of nice not to have to navigate him or walk on eggshells. Like I could just do whatever I wanted whenever I felt like it. I didn't have to worry about the consequences from him. I mean, I don't know if you saw our show Breaking Bonaducci, but if you did, you saw, you know, there was a lot to deal with him. Yes. And it wasn't easy to find my own path unless it was something to do with him. You know, like if he provided the opportunity, then it was awesome and great. But if I got something on my own, he would kind of belittle it, you know, and that was kind of hard for me to, you know, try to then even be brave enough to put myself out there, because I figured if I said, oh, I got this, he'd just go, oh, well, I wouldn't even mention that, you know, it's not important. So it just gave me a lot more courage just to do what I wanted to do. And not worry about someone else judging it, you know.
Yeah, that's really key, I think, is for women to be able to find something of our own and to pursue it and to, you know, kind of protect it. It's a baby in a way, you know, you've got this creative thing. And sometimes, you know, when you're dealing with someone with a disease of, you know, addiction, it can sometimes shadow or attempt to shadow your creativity. So I'm glad you were able to keep going and doing everything that you're doing.
You know, I again just feel so blessed that I'm, you know, producing shows again. And even during this period of time, after I did Breaking Bonaducci, I was cast in another show called Give Me My Reality Show. And I really did not think there was any chance in the world that I could win that show, because I was up against people from Baywatch and American Idol and the Brady Bunch. And they had really huge fan bases. And somehow I won that show. It was crazy. They put it out there on, it was on Fox Reality, and America voted, and really somehow I won. and I was able to continue on to keep producing shows. And then I had many that were optioned by other production companies. It's gotten really hard to get things on the air now. Super difficult, which you wouldn't think it would be that way with Hulu and Netflix. And
right.
But it has gotten a lot more difficult. So I'm choosier about what I insert myself into now, because a lot of times I'd be trying to help people and I'd get them a deal and they wouldn't want to sign it, you know? And I'm just like, I can't just be, you know, using my connections, spending all my time. So, you know, that was another reason I decided to kind of concentrate on my book. You know, I'm like, okay, I know I'm not crazy. I'm going to write this book and push myself so I don't have to deal with people that are high maintenance. And, you know, I think we all know that people that want to be on TV, we already know they're narcissistic, you know, so you're dealing with someone like that already. It must be really hard. So I've really been trying to concentrate on pushing my career forward at this point. But having said that, I'm trying to help as many people as I can, because I did get so much help along the way. So anything that I can do to bring in anyone that's helped me, that is kind of my goal with anything that happens off this book, because I don't know. You know, I have a lot of friends who have hundreds of thousands of followers. I don't have that. You know, it's possible no one's going to be interested in this book, but at least I got to have my say, you know, no matter what. And we'll see, you know, I just don't know.
Well, I think the book's going to be very successful, because we need more books like this. And I was talking with your publicist and I was just telling her, you know, we need more women telling their stories so that women don't feel like they're alone when they're going through something. They can read about someone else, you know, they can listen to this interview and hear like, you know, okay, yes, it was bad for a moment, but I got myself out of it and this is what I'm able to do now. But just going through, I mean, even if you go and look at some of your old episodes from your show, from Breaking Bonaducci, you could see that there was some turmoil going on there. And you were still, you know, you're a celebrity. Being a celebrity, you know, everyone knows who you are. They see your face and, you know, everyone feels like they have the your face is beautiful and everyone feels like they have a right to comment on you and your life, or that they know, but you don't really know, you know.
Very odd, because a lot of people want to put you down. Like I was getting, when it first came out that I was going to write a book, I was getting a lot, who cares about you? You know, you just married some guy and no one cares about you. And you think, you know what, everyone has a story. And it doesn't matter. How many people out there have written stories and no one knows who they are, and the books become bestsellers? You know, everyone has the right to tell their story, but sometimes people don't want you to, and they want to make you feel bad about that. And I hope me putting it out there will help other women go, hey, I have a story, it's interesting, and maybe people will want to read it. And so, you know, again, I just have no idea. Now that I have it out there, I'm going to try to turn it into a movie, because I kind of see it as a sort of Bridget Jones' Diary, I, Tanya. Like, that's the way I would make this movie.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a true Bridget Jones, but it also has the I, Tanya element. So that's kind of what I've been working on lately, is, you know, doing that, because I think it'd just make a really fun movie. Kind of a dark comedy, of course. Situations are kind of absurd, but yeah, I'm so grateful, like someone like you, that you're interested in talking to me, and you know that you're incredibly generous to call me a celebrity. So thank you.
You are. My gosh, you're a goddess. Come on, own it.
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask. So thank you that you say that, and you know, God willing, I'll sell some copies, and people will like it, and it will encourage people to do what they want to do. I mean, I'm in my 50s and I have an 80s band, and you know what? I love it. I have so much fun. I play with incredible musicians. My keyboard player is in Eagles of Death Metal. My bass player is in Power Man 5000. You know, I have incredible people and I'm so lucky to get to do it. And I'm sure there are many people that say you should probably get off the stage now, but I'm not going to, you know. Want to hear my band, I'll keep doing it.
As you should. You know, I think the one thing that I've learned about this business is you know you're doing the right thing if you have haters.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't want to be milk toast.
Right.
you need them to care about you in some capacity, whether they hate your guts or they love you. If you're just in between, and nobody will really care. So, you know, you kind of have to have both to get any reaction. Like, hate me, love me, but have some reaction to me.
Absolutely.
Then that's not good for you.
It's so true. You know, I'm so curious about your children, about Count and Countess. What do they think of your book?
Well, I think they're very supportive of the book, but I have to say they were not that happy about being on the TV show. Mm. That was something that we didn't really consider at the time because our show was in 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. That was before the boards were just starting where people could comment.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that, that people could say terrible things and my kids could get on the internet and read it. And I don't think that that was a positive experience. I know it wasn't.
Yes.
So I would definitely caution people who are going to be on volatile TV shows that maybe if you have small children, you might want to reconsider because it's not good for them to see people say terrible things, you know, about their parents and their family. So I would caution people that are thinking about being on a show that have children that can read the terrible things people are going to say, because they're going to.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to do that. But now my daughter is, she's getting married in October to a professor. And such a lovely human being, a vegan, like the sweetest. I'm so proud of our kids. And my son will be a senior in high school this year. And so he's doing great, very creative, super intellectual, like a really smart kid. So I'm very proud of my kids. I'm very proud of them. And they're doing great.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I was like looking at some of the older episodes just a few days ago, and I was like, wow, I wonder how they're doing and what they think about all of this. But wow, getting married, that's super exciting. And
Definitely the show, especially on my daughter, not so much on my son because he was so young.
But it
definitely, I don't think she would ever say it was a positive experience, you know, at all for her. But you know, we've moved on and she's supportive about the book, and my son, I don't think he really cares either way. So it's good.
Yeah, that's typical with boys. They're like, yeah, she's my mom, you know.
He hasn't really said too much about it. So I don't think he cares either way. You know, I think he probably feels, I'm happy that my mom has an opportunity to talk about her experience. And you know, I wrote a lot of, I tried to be fair. You know, when people ask me, is this a tell-all book? I'm like, no. To me, when you say that, you already have mean intentions, that you're trying to write mean things about people. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to tell my story. Now, are there mean things in there about some people? Yeah, but it's just the truth. It's not mm-hmm. me, you know, trying to make them look bad. It's me just telling the story. So if you think I made you look bad, well, you probably shouldn't have done it then.
I love it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we always say that in songwriting too, if you don't want a song written about you, then be nice.
Yes. I'm sure there, oh my gosh, we can name so many songs, right?
Yes.
They're complimentary about particular women or men.
Absolutely. My favorite question to ask everyone on the show is, if there was a story written about your life, which you're kind of putting together a movie about a portion of your life, but who would you want to star as you?
I would love Anna Faris to play me. I think that she's a really great actress and she has a great sense of humor. And I feel like she could totally pull this off.
Yeah.
It is a dark comedy. You know, it is does have the I, Tonya elements, but it also has the absurd Bridget Jones diary type moments, only they really happened. So, I would like her to play me. I don't know, there's so many great actresses. It has to be someone from like 25 to 50 who could play in there. And there's so many great choices. Riley Keough.
Oh, yes.
and love her to play me. You know, there's so many. Olsen, the Olsen girl.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh my gosh, I love that casting. I love that casting right there.
So we'll see. I mean, it's really getting it into somebody's hands and doing that. You know, they like it. I don't have an agent that handles those types of things. Like, I have a reality person, but not someone that does scripted. You know, a lot of interviews that I've done, people have gone like, I think you should do it as a series on Paramount. You know, Kyle Richards has a show on there that I think is loosely based on her. And, you know, something along those lines would be good for this as well. So... yeah, so we'll see. I mean, if this is all that happens, I'm so happy. I have so many book signings that are confirmed and, you know, quite a bit of interviews that I've been able to do. And, you know, how can I ask for more? You know, like, I'm grateful that anyone wants to talk to me and hear about my story. So pretty lucky, a lucky girl.
Like, you're so beyond blessed, and you have such an amazing story, and you're so gracious to share it, because sometimes, you know, people won't, you know, they'll carry it to their grave, and, you know, you serve so many people by sharing, and I'm just so grateful to you for doing this. And, you know, I'm also curious about music. What's happening with music? Anything new coming with the, I just hear like a soundtrack to the book.
Or me, that's what I wanted to do, like maybe try to figure out how we could, with the audiobook, do like a companion where I suggest the songs you should listen to while you're reading this chapter. And because I'm so music oriented, like everything about anything I do, like I wish I had a music soundtrack behind me all the time, you know, that you could play. Just with the band, you know, we do dates here and there. It's so hard to get my people because they are in such great bands. So we're playing Laughlin, Nevada, the Tropicana. I want to say October 19th and 20th, but whatever that weekend is, the third weekend in October. I'm playing at the Grove in Los Angeles on Thursday the 16th. So we do things here and there. Yeah, whatever comes up and when I can get everybody, we do it. And I just enjoy doing it so much. And feel lucky, you know, how fun that I get to play the 80s, all the hits with incredible musicians. And I'm pretty lucky to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And I just want to go backwards a little bit. We started talking about the reality show, and I need to bring this up or I'm going to get a whole bunch of emails of people going, why didn't you ask her? a lot of the women in our community are very interested in doing reality television, and we spoke briefly about how it affected your children, but for a rock goddess like yourself, you know, we have a community of other rock goddesses who are interested. What is your advice? What do you think? You know, how was it?
I think if you want to do it, you should go for it. It's a lot of fun. Our show actually was not the show that we shot as a pilot. I don't know if you know that, but
no.
We shot the pilot. It was called Rock and Roll Dinner Party. And it was a dinner party where rock stars would come over, and it was a potluck, and they had to bring, you know, whatever their favorite dish was. Well, that was the pilot that we shot. And then VH1 said, oh, you know what? We don't really like that idea, but we like you too. So we'd like to give you guys a show. And then my ex-husband just kind of went loony. And so they're like, dump everything and just follow them. And so we never intended to do that show. And I doubt, had we known things were going to go in that direction, that we would have been brave enough to do it. I mean, I think my ex-husband was pretty brave, because ours was truly, I think, the most true show that has ever been on TV. Like, we didn't go, hey, remember when you said that and then I said this? Well, let's just recreate that conversation. There was none of that.
Like,
if we were going to do it, I wanted to do it honestly. And so, like, even dealing with Danny's affair, I said, I don't really want to talk about it now, so we're rolling, because I wanted it to be real and the truth, and not, you know, like I said, going, oh, remember when we were at therapy and you got really mad and you did that? Like, I really wanted it to be true, because I felt like that was the only way we really could help people. And I know the producers of the show were always like, oh, you're so cute. You want your little reality show to help people. And I go, no, I do. Like, I really think this show could help people. And I know it did. We received so much mail. So many women wrote me and they're like, you were brave enough to go and you had the best situation, married to a famous guy. And, you know, you had money. And the fact that you walked away gave me the courage to do it. How could I ever not be so proud of doing that show? You know, it did help people. We had people say, you know, we had family members with addiction issues and they watched the show and they, you know, decided to get help. And so I really think our show helps a lot of people. And you know, so in that respect, I'm so happy we did it. So people that are willing to be totally open, that's what you have to do to really have an impact on a show, you know, because if you're trying to guard yourself or, you know, you can't really pull that off, I think, and have it real. I mean, I think so many of the shows now are set up, I can't even watch them, you know, it's just so doesn't seem like that really happened so many times on shows.
I agree. I've looked at some of the shows and I'm just going, really? Yeah. That's kind of hard to believe.
Our daughter is going to college, sad face. Oh, we will support you. It's all happy. You know, it's like, that did not happen. You know,
exactly.
It seemed real. And so I find it hard to even watch a lot of them. I really don't, you know, because most of them to me are just phony. You know, I love Who Do You Think You Are? And PBS used to have a bunch of reality shows, 1940s House, Frontier Families. Those were really great shows. But now I think a lot of them are just a waste of time. Like, I want to build a network and go, I just lost an hour of my time. Can you please pay me back for that? Because they're bad. You know, I can't, I like the news and, you know, things that are interesting and important.
Wow, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, because that is one question that people are like, oh, should I try to get a reality show? You know, I'm life on the road or whatever, and my life is so chaotic. And, you know, so it's nice to hear about your experience, and that was actually real. You know, that's unusual.
Yeah, it is unusual. But, you know, it can be really fun. It can also put you in a bad situation if you end up becoming the villain on the show, you know, so you definitely have to be prepared that it can go either way. You know, like, you could end up being, oh, the good guy on the show, or you could end up being the evil witch on the show. So you just have to be prepared to accept however you're going to end up being portrayed. And if you're down with that, then I say go for it. You know, it's a lot of times really good money. And, you know, you get invited to a lot of fun things. You know, I've been to the Emmys and the Grammys and all kinds of really fun things that everybody wants to go to. You know, like, I'm blessed that I've had an opportunity to do those things. And a lot of it was because of our TV show, you know. So there's a lot of fun things that come with it. Gifting suites and, you know, like, a lot of it. Yeah, so it can be fun. And I just feel like, as a woman, you should do whatever you want. You have one life, and that is just the truth. And you better make the most of it. Like, if I died tomorrow, literally, I'd feel like, wow, I got a way better shape than I ever thought I was going to get. You know, I look back at my life and cannot believe, even through everything, how amazing and lucky I've been. You know, so I just feel like, if that is one thing women can take from my book, take a chance. I mean, I took a huge chance. I married a guy I didn't even know hardly, you know, and we ended up being married 18 years and 2 great kids and a lot of fantastic times and, you know, a lot of bad and hard times. And but, you know, it when it's all said and done, I can't regret or feel like I got ripped off in any way.
Wow, that's wonderful. And this is a wonderful place to conclude. Can you please tell everyone where they can get your book, where you're going to be having your signings? Tell us how we can connect.
Sure. Well, of course, I have Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and that's all Gretchen Bonaducci. I have, book signings.
Yes.
The 14th. Pop-up Sphere Records in downtown LA. The 15th is at Barnes & Noble at the Grove. I'm coming to Chicago. I'm coming to Palm Springs. I'm coming to Phoenix. So those are the ones that I have nailed down. Oh, Oakhurst, California. Although with the fires up there, I'm not sure about that. We may have to postpone that. My band is playing at the Grove on the 16th, and then we're playing Laughlin at the Tropicana the third week of October, whatever that date is. So there's lots of places to connect with me. And on my actual Facebook, I really try to answer everybody. You know, I run it. So if you're getting a message from me, it's actually me telling you. As of now, anyway, I've been able to handle it. And I would love to hear from some of you. I'm really interested to hear people's feedback on the book, because I don't know. Like, are people going to go, wow, it's great. It's funny. Like, I'm getting all over the board. You know, Radar Online did an article and it was like, explosive book. I'm like, explosive? Like, I thought it was kind of funny. So I just don't know, you know, what people are going to think.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I just want to say to all the guitar goddesses out there that are watching, please make sure you go and hit up Gretchen on her social media channels. Make sure you go and buy the book. You know, we always love to support each other.
You can get the book on pre-order from Amazon.com. So right now, like today, if you wanted to go on, you could pre-order it, and I think it'll mail out tomorrow. So I forgot that one. Sorry.
No worries. We want to make sure that we're always supporting. So okay, guys, go to Amazon.com. Look for Gretchen Benaducci's book. Make sure you get it. Anybody who gets the book, please email me and I'll send you guys out another Guitar Goddess gift for purchasing and supporting Gretchen. So please make sure you send to info@guitargoddess.com, send us your receipts, and we will make sure you guys get another gift on top of that. So make sure you go and get it today. Gretchen, thank you so much for coming and supporting Guitar Goddess and sharing your experience with the community, your book, your music, everything. Like, just thank you. And you're just so gracious and wonderful and beautiful. And I love that. I love, you know, that you're sitting in gratitude. And that is the most positive and most beautiful place to be. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the time, and I had such a great time talking to you, and I cannot appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about my book, so thank you, actually.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you soon. I'll be at one of your book signings.
Can't wait to meet you in person.
Okay, take care. Ciao.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep rocking.
Yes, I will. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode of Guitar Goddess, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a positive review. For weekly updates on concerts, events, and VIP giveaways, don't forget to join our VIP list at guitargoddess.com. You can also find us on the web at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Guitar Goddess Co. Until next time, keep rockin'.